John 15, verse 1. Jesus says to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So abide. It's kind of an old-fashioned word, isn't it? Hotel and highway motels and hotels don't put up big neon signs that say, "Abide with us tonight," right? Baseball announcers don't sum up an inning by saying one hit, one walk, and two abiding on base. In fact, if you look the word up in the dictionary, some of the definitions have actually become obsolete, like to pay the price or penalty of or to suffer for. That's to abide. But even the definitions that are current, in current use, make the word seem as if it belongs to another time or place. Because to abide has to do with persevering, continuing, lasting, staying with it. So as one commentator observed, no wonder the term is rare in our time. What it means is rare in this or any time. And yet that is the word on Jesus' lips in today's passage. Abide in me as I abide in you. This reciprocal relationship begins with God's action. Christ comes to abide with us and continues with our response. We abide with Jesus. God shows love to us by sending the Son, and then we share that love with others. The response that the love of God and the presence of Christ call for is not intellectual assent or obedience to a set of laws. It isn't about getting our act together and doing everything right. It is to know that whatever else is true about ourselves and about God, the bottom line is we are loved, and our call is to live into that love, to abide in that love, just as it abides in us, to stay as close as we can to the source of that love, Jesus Christ, and to learn to be as much like him as possible. In other words, we're to be like a branch on a vine. Branches have no life or growth apart from the vine. It's only as they connected that the sap can run through their veins and they have what they need to grow and bear fruit. So we too receive the source of our life and become a blessing to others as we draw near to Christ and as we allow our life to be grafted into his. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Later, John moves on to more closely define what abiding in Jesus looks like by saying, abide in my love. How do we know that we abide in Jesus' love? We do what he commands, which is to love God and love one another. It's as simple and as difficult as that. So, with that said, how are you doing with this reciprocal love thing? How well are you abiding with Christ? How firmly do you feel grafted to the vine? And what kind of fruit is your life bearing? I think all too often we just have a tendency to go through the motions when it comes through faith and life. We fall into patterns. We take God for granted. We don't pause for reflection. So that's what I'm going to invite us to do for a few minutes right now. To take some time to consider our relationship with the vine and the fruit that we are bearing in our lives. So I would invite you to get comfortable. Center yourself in God's presence. Open yourself up to the Spirit. Take a breath. And exhale. First, think about what draws you closer to Jesus. What connects you to the vine? When do you experience God's presence? Are there places or practices or people you find nourish your faith? What draws you closest to Jesus and connects you to him? Think about that for a moment. Then think about what helps you to grow in your relationship with Christ. For plants to grow, they need fertilizer, sunshine, and water. Remembering that fertilizer is often made out of waste and decomposing matter, the things that make us strong and help us to grow may not always be pleasant things. What nourishes and helps you to grow in love and faith? And how can you invite more of it into your life? Of course, healthy growth includes pruning. Any of you who have roses in your gardens know this. So, what do you sense that God, the vine dresser, wants to see cut back or eliminated from your life to help encourage positive growth? Your life may just need some gentle pruning. Or there may be some things that need to be completely lopped off and thrown into the burn pile. What is God calling you to cut back or to cut off from your life? Finally, a question to consider that isn't in your bulletin. What is one thing you can commit to this morning that will strengthen your connection to Christ? What can you do to draw closer to the love of Jesus? And how can you show that love to others? What action or relationship do you sense God drawing you toward or away? Please continue to consider this call of love as the choir leads us in the prayer that Jesus taught us.